heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
O source and summit, O food of life and drink of salvation, be for us a partaking in Christ himself, his intimacy with the Father, his union with the Spirit, his efficacious suffering undoing all of sin and death, his glorious rising to new life offered to all, and his very divine nature itself. Gracious Lord, grant that we may never again take this holy communion with you for granted, but always receive it with deeper gratitude. Welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, happy to be with you again. Thanks for listening as we enter into the second Sunday after Pentecost, the Sunday designated by Holy Mother Church as the Solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, familiarly known as Corpus Christi. Springing from a vision given to St. Juliana of Liege, it was instituted for the Universal Church by Pope Urban IV in 1264. And Pope Urban wrote this about the feast. He said, "Although the Eucharist is celebrated solemnly every day, we deem it fitting that at least once a year it be celebrated with greater honor and a solemn commemoration." And, of course, he also commissioned St. Thomas Aquinas himself to compose the liturgical texts for this feast. St. John Paul II begins his encyclical Ecclesia de Eucharistia with these words. He says, "The Church draws her life from the Eucharist." And I remember the profound impression those words had on me even before I was Catholic, as I read those words sitting in the shadow of Vatican City. They prepared me to hear the words of my pastor a few months later as my wife and I underwent RCIA. Speaking on the Eucharist, he began his talk by saying, "If the Church has the Eucharist wrong, we've got it all wrong." Of course, Jesus himself put it succinctly thus, "The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." And again, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." Well, sadly, as I'm sure you know, recent surveys have shown that many Catholics do not believe that the bread and wine actually become the body and blood of Jesus at the sacrifice of the Mass. They don't believe in transubstantiation. Many see the Eucharist as purely symbolic. Well, in response to this sentiment, I don't think I can improve upon the words of Catholic author Flannery O'Connor in response to a so-called intellectual who thought of the Eucharist merely as a symbol, when she said, "Well, if it's a symbol, to hell with it." Indeed. Well, on this solemnity in which you especially honor the body and blood of Christ, let me urge you to set aside some extra time to commemorate this great gift. You know, I've talked before about the Holy Spirit being the very air we breathe, and that at the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church takes its first breath, right? Well, if that's true, then certainly, and by the way, I do believe that's true, certainly the body and blood of Christ is our very food and drink. It is that which nourishes us for our growth all the way from infancy all the way through to that day when we see him face to face. So make some time on the solemnity of the very body and blood of Christ. Make some time. Maybe take some time for Eucharistic adoration. Read through the Bread of Life discourse in John chapter 6, which I quoted just a couple of lines from. Or maybe read through the institution narratives near the end of the synoptics of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Jesus institutes the Eucharist. Maybe read some of the many saints' meditations on the Eucharist. And one place to do this I would recommend is a website, truthhimself.blogspot.com. And above all, participate as fully as you are able in Mass and feast on life himself. We've got a great show coming up for this Corpus Christi weekend here. First off, how does one decide when it's the right time to move a pregnancy resource center? Well, that's a good question. Here to explain to us how Southwest Options for Women knew it was time to pull up stakes are Kim Beneke and Marie Ziesmer. Next up, what does the church really teach about women and women's roles? Is there such a thing as a Catholic feminist, or should there even be? Dr. Erica Kidd from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas is with us to talk about these important topics. And finally, what's a fly revival? Ever heard of that? A fly revival. I'll be honest, I'm not entirely sure, but I'm looking forward to finding out. The always easy to chat with Nell O'Leary is back with us on the show to tell us about the upcoming fly revival put on by Blessed Is She. Before we get into it, though, let's always pause here at the top of the show, offering the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as we pray together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there are many things to consider when contemplating relocating. Is the location desirable? Is the price affordable? How's the neighborhood? Will we fit in here? One of the things that should always be considered when seeking to practice our Catholic faith is, how will our part in Christ's mission be affected? Well, Southwest Options for Women Pregnancy Resource Center recently went through just such a relocation. Here to talk about the reasons behind the move and the hopes for the future are the President and Executive Director of Southwest Options for Women, Kim Beneke, and bilingual client advocate, Marie Ziesmer. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Hello.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you both on. Thank you so much for being on the show. Kim, let me start with you. At the root of it all, just give us a little of an idea about the mission of Southwest Options for Women.
Well, our mission, our main focus, is providing services for women experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. And we want to do that in a compassionate, evidence-based medical services environment for women, helping them with education, material support for the mothers, the families, the infants, in a very respectful and non-judgmental environment.
Very good. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, our new center, we have a philosophy with clients to create a relationship with them, to really give them the opportunity to trust us and ultimately understand the value of life.
Wonderful, and a great mission that is, indeed. Now, Marie, you are the bilingual client advocate, which maybe leads me to ask, so who all do you serve? Do you serve many, many people who are maybe aren't native English speakers?
Yes, we have. Unfortunately, I don't speak all the languages that come of the native languages, the people that come in. But
sure,
we help, of course, many who speak English perfectly, but Spanish speaking, Somali, different places in Africa. We have had French people. We've had Venezuelan, and you know, just many different from many different countries and backgrounds. So it's helpful to know another language and then let them know, you know, we don't know your language, but you know, we'll do our best, and we try as best we can to help everyone who walks through our doors.
Sure. Very good. Now let's talk a little bit about the move. In mid-March, you moved to Eden Prairie, and just wanted to know, Kim, what were the thoughts behind the move? What prompted the move?
Really what prompted the move was COVID. We had several things happening. In 2019, shortly after I joined the organization, we as a board decided to be really hyper-focused on our mission, and we wanted to convert from being a resource center that had been around for over, you know, nearly 30 years to a clinic. And to do that, we would be offering ultrasounds and various other services to our women and kind of take ourselves to that next level. Being in the metro, we were covering 30 cities, but not offering all the services that maybe other centers were. So we started to think about what that looked like in the current space. COVID all of a sudden happened for us, and our landlord was unable to renew our lease in that time frame. Mm-hmm. And so we knew our lease was coming up and thought, okay, well, this could be our opportunity. However, we were kind of going through a transition of losing a grant. So we thought, well, God, you know, take us on this path. And certainly we started to see the God winks left and right, doors closing and windows opening for us definitely was relevant.
Wow, that's wonderful. What some might see as obstacles and maybe barriers and that sort of thing, you saw as opportunity is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. I mean, it was an opportunity. I know I was toiling on it. My son said, Mom, come meet me for dinner in Eden Prairie, where he lived at the time. I was walking absentmindedly on my phone and looked up, and I was at Planned Parenthood. And I thought, how did I not know they were here?
Hmm.
And so for us, I immediately felt this overwhelming sense of peace. I looked to my right, and I saw a big four lease sign.
Wow.
I walked a few doors down, walked into the restaurant. My son said, okay, what are we going to do, Mom? I said, I already know. We're going to move there.
That's amazing.
So it started the process. I started calling. They never had offered a non-retail organization an opportunity to have a lease in this location. We would be sharing a parking lot with Planned Parenthood. How would they feel about that? So we just kept going with it, and here we are. We're in, and it's the most fantastic opportunity that the Lord has presented for us.
Now, I'm not altogether familiar with the Southwest Metro, so Kim, can you give me an idea whereabouts is this new center?
So the new center is in the heart of Eden Prairie, right off of Prairie Center Drive, and
okay.
So it's one of the busiest intersections that they have. So obviously we saw the for lease sign and then did the subsequent homework on location.
Sure.
The traffic was nearly five times as much on a daily basis as we currently had in Hopkins. It is within the distance of less than 15 miles from about 15 colleges. And we are in a parking lot. Literally our door opens up and we see Planned Parenthood, which means those women have the opportunity to cross that parking lot and see our location.
Wow.
So Eden Prairie Mall, you have to enter through Eden Prairie Mall entrance for us as well. So a lot of that group of women, that age group that would be seeking our services are definitely in the area.
Wow, that's great. And Kim, the center is open for business, yeah?
We are open for business. We had a soft opening in March, really getting our feet out from underneath us in the move, because we're offering so many new services that we're still training on those and still launching over the next several weeks. But yes, we are in and open and have wonderful clients and many, many community advocates just walking in the door on a daily basis saying they're so happy that we're there.
Wow. Well, that's great. And such encouragement, too. Yeah, clearly the Lord's hand was in this from beginning to, well, I won't say to end, because things are just still getting rolling there, too, which is fantastic and wonderful. Maureen, let me ask you. So when a woman walks in the door, I like to ask this of many of the representatives from similar centers offering some of the same, some of the different or some of the same, some different programs and resources. But when a woman walks in the door of Southwest Options for Women, what can she expect? What's going to happen?
Well, she'll expect someone greeting her very warmly, very happy to see her. We're always asking, you know, what can we do for you? How can we help you? Trying to really give her the lead so she can open up to whatever she's dealing with. If she's looking for pregnancy tests, an ultrasound, you know, all the different things, we've got different, certain forms they fill out. But we're always going through the process, mentoring them through it, helping them understand, you know, the options that they have. You know, we're called Options for Women. And there's a reason for that, because we believe that every woman should know their options and not be, you know, told there's only one way to go, you know. And so we really let them ask any questions they want, empower them to be able to make the decision that is right for them, and of course, hoping that they, hoping and praying as we're doing that, that they will choose life for their unborn baby if they're pregnant. We have a wonderful program of education, so a lot of our clients are just thrilled to be able to learn about pregnancy and parenting if they're, thinking about the option of parenting, and just knowing that we're there for them with material support, with financial support. We've got other agencies that we work with. We can help them get rent for their maternity leave, different situations that they might be in that they might need help. So, we just try to figure out what they need and fill in those gaps and help them in whatever way we can.
Wow, that's great. Kim, let me ask you, so what are, give us a rundown of all the resources or the programs, the services that you do offer there. You've made mention of them, but let's have them all together in one place.
Well, we offer pregnancy testing, okay. And we offer material assistance. We offer the parenting, mentorship, and education classes. That goes from educating them on the sleep, how to properly have an infant sleep in without being in bed with the parent, but all the way through how to find a job if that's the necessity for that parent to be really engaged in the process of that full-term pregnancy. But some of the new programs that we're offering that we're very excited about is offering full-time ultrasounds. So we've had an ultrasound machine for a long time, but finding that nurse has been a challenge for us, but it was all in God's timing because we have a fantastic nurse and she's within weeks of launching our ultrasounds full-time at our organization. So that's fantastic.
Nice.
We are also launching the abortion reversal pill, which is something that I believe only one other center currently is doing. And that is really going to be important because they are providing the abortions at the Planned Parenthood that shares our parking lot. So we want to make sure that we have that available for a woman who has changed her mind. And natural family planning is another big one for us that we want to really talk to the women about their health and about their history. And so that they have the knowledge about their health and their fertility to, if their pregnancy test is negative, that they can be still a partner with us so that they can learn that if they're empowered with all of this information and self-confidence, that maybe won't be a choice that they have to deal with in the future, and that we can be a resource whether the test is positive or negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very important. It seems like you're hitting it on a lot of different levels there, depending on where the woman is, where the woman, if she's pregnant, if she's not pregnant, if she's in need of exploring a little bit more for, if she needs some resources for, as you said, Marie, I believe, about maternity leave and things like that. I'm very grateful for the wide range of services that you offer there. Marie, are all these things available? Is this just by appointment or do you take walk-ins as well?
Oh, yes, we take walk-ins. I mean, we like to have an appointment, and once they've been in, they'll make an appointment from then on. But we definitely are eager for walk-ins to come in, especially if they're, pregnant and in need of that help that we can give them. So, we'd love to be able to have them.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, yeah. And Kim, you mentioned the nurse. Do you have other full-time staff? Are you working on a volunteer basis? How is that working?
Right now we have two part-time client advocates and a part-time nurse. So we are open 4 days a week and hoping to soon be open 5 days a week. And then I am full-time running the operations of the center itself. And so that has been exciting for us because we have really, really broad future plans for the organization, definitely evolving with what the women's needs are, but also evolving with being open 5 days a week and hoping to be open on Saturdays.
Yeah.
So even though we've been around for 30 years, this is just a brand new chapter for us. We've we've done so many wonderful things over the years, but this is our 30-year anniversary and the prime time for us to take it to that next level for the services that these women in the over 30 cities that we cover, what their needs are.
Hmm. And Marie, maybe I'll ask you, I do see on your website that you have volunteer opportunities. Do you want to just make a quick note of some of those opportunities for volunteers?
Yes, we've got our wonderful committees of our board that help. We've got one called Community Leadership Committee that is really engaging the volunteers to help with. The big thing we need is the fundraising in order to keep going, in order to be open 5 days a week rather than four, you know, in order to keep our nurse staffed and our ultrasound running, we need the donations. And so we've got opportunities for volunteers to help in that area. We've got when we have a mailing or some kind of project, we bring in volunteers to help with those kind of things. So, and we've got a prayer ministry actually. So we've got we're building that. We would like to have someone praying each day. You know, each seven different people, at least 70 people praying specifically on a certain day. They're praying for our center and our clients and any needs we have. So, is there anything else, Kim, that I missed?
You know, we're hosting Community for Life events, so we are asking for everyone within our community to have an opportunity to host an event at their home or at a coffee shop, because community outreach is one of the larger things for us, because we know that if the donors hear that we're there, if our community hears that we're there for our clients, that is going to be the key to bringing all of this together and really helping that knowledge. So, you know, have coffee at your house with like-minded friends and family and colleagues and, you know, people from your church. And we've started that, and it has helped us grow into this new space, grow with donors coming out of the woodwork to say, how much do you need for that sign? What can we help with? And also then the clients hearing about us, because one of the larger growing populations of women in the abortion-minded group are, you know, women that are career women, and they are Caucasian women that really need that guidance. And so we are definitely wanting them to hear about us through all different sort of channels so that they can know that we're there.
Right. Wonderful. Well,
and for those Communities for Life, then Kim would come and speak and help people to, you know, give all the information about our center. So it's just a great
lots of opportunity.
Lots of opportunities, lots of options at Southwest Options for Women. Ladies, I'm afraid we're out of time, but the website is southwestoptionsforwomen.org. The phone number is 952-938-4496. Kim Beneke and Marie Ziesemer, thank you so much for being on the program. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're off into our first break. When we come back, Dr. Erica Kidd joins us to talk about what the Catholic Church really teaches about the dignity of women. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
I just wanted to remind our listeners that when they support Relevant Radio, they're not just supporting Relevant, they're also supporting their local apostolates who are given a voice through Relevant Radio for all of their ministries, their awareness of what they're doing.
Relevant Radio is a wonderful charity, and I know a lot of you have your own personal charities that you like to support. It might be the Cause of Life. It might be vocations. It might be Catholic education. They're all noble, and I'm glad you support them, and you should. But I'll tell you what, when you support Relevant Radio, I'll tell you, you give a real boost, a real platform, a real bump to every one of those outlets.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Accusations of sexism in the church is as old as the church itself, and while I'm sure that there are individual members of the church who have been guilty of discrimination against women, what do we ultimately hold to be true about the dignity of women? What is faithful feminism? Joining us now to talk about these important issues is Dr. Erica Kidd, Associate Professor of Catholic Studies and Director of their graduate program. Dr. Kidd, thanks for being on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Patrick.
It's always a pleasure to have you on. All right, so let's start with a testimony that you gave as part of the Archdiocesan Faith and Culture Series installment on the Church's understanding of the dignity of women. You shared a bit about how Our Lady drew you into the faith initially. Can you share some of that? Would you mind sharing some of that with our listeners today?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So, you know, first, a couple of caveats. I was raised evangelical Protestant and given a terrific background in scripture. And so that was really important for my conversion into Catholicism. And I was also in the midst of receiving a robust liberal arts education. And that was really important for my conversion to Catholicism. But when it comes right down to it, the big story about my conversion is Mary. She was the one who drew me in. So my husband and I got married on the Feast of the Assumption, and we were not Catholic. And within a year, we were Catholic. We weren't even thinking about becoming Catholic. We didn't know that was an important day, August 15th, but pretty quickly she drew us in. And it was kind of a funny experience because, you know, my husband and I both studied philosophy at the graduate level. We're very much intellectuals. And so I think our families and those around us thought, oh, you know, they kind of read and thought their way into the church. And we did in a certain respect, but it was the person of Mary who really gave me a vision for what Catholicism was. And if I had to sum that up in one word, I would say it is sacramentalism, that the body matters, that the physical world matters, that the physical world can be a vehicle of grace, how God reaches out and touches us. And so the story I like to tell is my husband and I were at the University of Notre Dame. And everyone had told us, you have to go see the grotto. It's amazing. You know, we weren't Catholic. We were just there for a conference, but we went down just to look and see what people were doing there. And we were standing kind of far back. We watched a young couple watch up and light a candle. And lightning didn't strike them down dead. You know, God wasn't angry with them for lighting a candle in front of Mary, which we thought might happen. And then we thought, why don't we light a candle and pray? I mean, we didn't know what we were doing at all. But we thought God wouldn't kill us. And so we went, we lit a candle, we said a prayer, and suddenly I had this flood of understanding that God gave me a body for a reason. And he wants me to know him in part through my body. He wants me to worship him with my body. This isn't just, you know, this extraneous shell that I have to put up with through life, but this is really the very place where I grow in holiness, where I relate to God, where I come to understand who God is. And so getting that sacramental vision, and I mean that both, you know, in the sense of the sacraments, which I started to come to understand, started to come to understand the Eucharist and what God was offering there. But also in this, I started to, after that encounter, have a broader sense of a kind of sacramental vision of the world where, you know, my conversations with my students, my making dinner in the evening, my going on walks with my family, you know, all of this is where God is drawing me to himself and where I'm growing in faith and holiness. So it was Mary all the way.
Wow, that's fantastic. Any other saints that specifically have spoken to you in that sacramental way, particularly female saints?
Yeah. So I chose as my confirmation Saint Monica because I work on Augustine. And so, it just seemed she's the closest woman. And she, I didn't really know what I was doing when I chose her. She turns out to be the patron saint of some things that aren't necessarily relevant to my life. but I love her as a mother. And I love her because of her faithfulness in prayer as a mother. So she had this wayward son, Augustine. He had some sexual difficulties. I mean, you know, some people call it a sex addiction. That's a little bit strong. But he was definitely sleeping with a number of women. He was wayward. He was trying to climb the social ladder. And she's kind of an interesting case because on the one hand, she's a little bit meddling. Like she tries to do things to set Augustine up for success, right? She wants him to be a big deal as a rhetorician. She tries to get him the right education. She also, I'm going to say in a not very virtuous way, sends away the mother of Augustine's child because she wants Augustine to get, she was the first woman was sort of a common law wife, and Monica, his mother, wanted Augustine to have a wife with a higher social status. So all that to say, she was a bit of a meddler. And sometimes that was to the good and sometimes it wasn't. But it was not her meddling that brought her son to an encounter with Jesus Christ. It was her prayer that brought her son to that encounter. And it was her prayer that sustained Augustine. And it sustained her too. At one point in her life, she's praying and she receives a vision from God, basically to the effect that Augustine is going to be okay, that Augustine is going to come to the one true faith. And then it is, I think it's 13 years later that Augustine actually has his conversion experience. So I imagine her during those 13 years thinking, maybe I made that up. Maybe that wasn't really God speaking to me, or maybe that wasn't, maybe I misunderstood. And so to know first that things didn't resolve for her really quickly with her children, she didn't see everything in her family life working out perfectly quickly. That I think can be a consolation to me and to every parent, right? I think most of us are waiting for things to work out still, to be resolved still. But also just that faithfulness in prayer, right? She knew that it wasn't her meddling. She knew that it wasn't, well, maybe she didn't know, but in fact, it wasn't her meddling. It wasn't her trying to fix things. It was her prayer that really brought healing to her family. So I think that's just a really beautiful example.
Fantastic. Well, you're already outlining for us some great aspects of what I believe I called in our little intro here, what I would call faithful feminism. The whole term feminist has continued to shift over the course of time, and these days, obviously, it has a much different connotation than it did in the 1960s or the 1980s. It continues to shift. So I'm just wondering if the contemporary, more secular understanding of the term, does it have any intersection with our Catholic faith right now? And if so, what is that? And if not, why not? And talk to us a little bit more about what it means to be a feminist.
Yeah, this is such a great question. The first thing to say is that contemporary liberal feminism has a tremendous focus on a so-called right to abortion. And so that's the elephant in the room. And I think, you know, Catholics just cannot be on board with that. And I think that's why you see so many faithful Catholics who are allergic to this term, right? They don't want anything to do with it because it's associated with something that they just can't be associated with. I'm reminded, Professor Helen Alvarez says, you know, if contemporary feminists spent half as much time helping support women who want to have children as they spend helping women who don't want to have children, we would be in a tremendously different place, right? You know, we sort of act like women all want one thing, and that's just not the case at all. So, you know, that's problematic. You know, people like Helen Alvarez, Professor Alvarez, and others are not quite ready to give up on that term. And I think there are a couple reasons for that. I mean, first of all, many of us are the beneficiaries, and I think it's worth acknowledging the extent to which we're the beneficiaries of what's called first wave feminism. And so I'm thinking of those very early feminists who were looking to remove, many of them pro-life, who were looking to remove legal barriers to equality and, you know, sort of access to, yeah, legal barriers to equality. And so I think I'm thinking here, of course, of things like women's suffrage, but also a little bit later, things like women's full participation in the workforce. And both John Paul II, St. John Paul the Great, and Benedict XVI were outspoken in their support of women's full participation in public life. And for some people, that's going to be, you know, in the volunteer sphere. For some people, that's going to be in paid work. But both of them, and especially with this language of the feminine genius, both of them say, look, it's really important, not just for women, but they specifically emphasize it's really important for mothers, women with children, to be participants in public life. And some of that ability to participate in public life came from those very early feminists. So that's, you know, I think it's worth acknowledging that and not throwing out the baby with the bathwater, but there's that. I think we also can say, and again, you know, someone like Professor Alvarez is a good advocate of this, that there's still much work to be done to support women and children. And so here I think of things like supporting impoverished pregnant women or working to support or working to fix the broken marriage and relationship market that so many women are suffering in right now. So, you know, those are just two examples, but I think there's a lot more to be done. Some people would call that feminist work, but of course, there are many women who are doing that work who would shy away from that label of feminism. So, you know, I see both sides. I see some women, some websites claiming this language of Catholic feminism, and that's what they're focusing on. They're focusing on issues that specifically affect women and issues that affect vulnerable populations. But I think those who are concerned about that term certainly have good reason to be concerned, not wanting to be associated with some of what goes by the name of contemporary feminism.
I started this by saying that there are accusations of sexism and they abound still to this day in the church. And one of them might be that the church is just run by a patriarchy of old white men specifically. What would you say in response to something like that?
First, learn your history. Right? I mean, that's just not accurate, and it's sort of insulting to all the great women saints, all the people who don't fit that category that you named, who have played such an influential role within the church. So you know, I think sometimes there's a certain amount of intellectual laziness that we just don't want to dig into. You know, what was Catherine of Siena doing, or what was Hildegard of Bingen doing, or you know, all these great women. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing, you know, I sometimes hear complaints or concerns about women not having access to the ministerial priesthood, and what I think there is, or you know, sort of asking the question, what are women's unique roles within the church? And to that, I would say women have the same roles available to them as all the laity. And the question isn't so much what are the unique roles available to women, but what am I specifically being called to? And so I think, you know, there's a lot of space for women to be involved in ministry. There's a lot of space for women to be involved in leadership roles. Certainly at the Vatican, we've seen increasing numbers of women at higher and higher levels. So I think, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of, I would say two things. Sometimes there's just a little bit of misinformation and not enough knowledge of history and not enough knowledge of the way that things are changing. And then second, of course, there is still more room for women to be involved at various levels of leadership. And that's going to be, that's something that women should seek out according to their particular gifts, right? But it's not so much a question of what can women do. It's a question of what can the laity do and what are my unique gifts? What are your unique gifts? And how do we find a place to exercise those within the church? That's, I think, the crucial issue.
Yeah, fantastic. We've only got about a minute remaining, Dr. Kidd, but I did want to ask you, any suggestions of resources that you would point our listeners toward if they want to explore this further, any particular authors or writings that you would recommend?
Yeah, you know, my acquaintance, Dr. Abigail Favalli, has written a really great book called Into the Deep, which is her story of, she calls herself a feminist heretic, and it's her story of becoming educated within contemporary feminism and gender studies, and then having this very surprising conversion story. So she's really thoughtful on these issues about the place of women in the church. Someone who's been working in this area, I mentioned her several times, but who's been working in this area for a long time is Professor Helen Alvarez. And any of her essays online are really interesting and important. But then I also would encourage folks who are interested in women in the church to dive into women in the church. You know, I teach in Catholic studies. Our whole mission is to help people dive into the 2,000 year tradition of Catholic thought and culture. And so, you know, there are many women authors out there. I named a few older. There's more contemporary folks or more recent folks like Flannery O'Connor. So I would say, you know, look into the great tradition of women thinkers and writers within the church. And then also, you know, continue looking to the person of Mary. She herself, in the tradition tells us, was a sort of scholar. And so, you know, look to her example of reading and diving into the resources we have available to us.
Well, you can't do any better than beginning and ending an interview with Mary. So thank you, Dr. Kidd, for appearing on Practicing Catholic. Thank you for being with us. God bless you in your continued work. And we hope to talk to you again real soon.
Great. Thanks so much, Patrick.
All right. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, Nell O'Leary is with us to answer the burning question, what is a fly revival? Stay with us.
Let's see, we got some phone calls yet? Let's look. Oh, we do.
Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio. Have a question?
Jesus performed miracles. He raised the dead.
Yes.
He told his disciples, these miracles and greater will you do. Do you off the top of your head remember any of the disciples or the apostles? Did they raise the dead?
Oh, yes, of course they did. Acts the 9th.
Have a question about the faith? Give Father a call.
Melissa, are you with us?
Well, God bless you, Father Simon. I wanted to say thank you because what I really enjoy about your program is I like how you have delved into the multiple languages and you really deepen my understanding because instead of just reading one flat line, for lack of a better word. You know, you give me the slang, the vernacular of the century. You really give me such a good understanding.
Father Simon Says.
Sei gesund, as we say in Skokie, stay healthy.
2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cammie Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Blessed is She is a sisterhood of women who want to grow together in their Catholic faith. They create beautiful and accessible resources, products, and experiences to foster community and deepen faith both online and in person, including something called Fly Revivals. Here to introduce us to the Fly Revival concept is Catholic speaker and MC, as well as managing editor of Blessed Is She, Nell O'Leary. Welcome back to the program, Nell.
Hi, Patrick. Great to be here.
Oh, man, I can hear your smile through the microphone here, so that's wonderful. Through my headphones, I should say. Well, wonderful to have you with us. Now, okay, enlighten us all, Nell. What in the world is a fly revival? I mean, I've got mental imagery that involves insects going on here, and I'm guessing that's not what's going on.
Well, the fly part, Patrick, is based on Matthew, you know, 6:25-34. You know, look at the birds, how they fly, this idea of surrender and trust.
Ah.
Not bug-related, more bird-related.
Okay.
Blessed is She wanted to bring all across the nation to cities an opportunity for women to come together in two nights for worship, adoration, confession, and two different talks each night. So instead of having a full blown big retreat, it just felt like the Spirit was calling us to go and meet women where they are and provide that spiritual nourishment that we've all been longing for in this time of pandemic.
Yeah, well, obviously the longing has definitely been there, and thank you for clearing that up. It's a lot clearer to me now. Now, I know that Blessed Is She is a nationwide ministry, is a nationwide sisterhood of women, but how you say across the country, how many different cities are these fly revivals going to take place?
Gosh, let's see. We'll be in St. Paul, June 11th and 12th, up at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton.
Yeah.
Then Milwaukee, then Grand Rapids, then there's going to be a Southern tour in Texas, two locations in Louisiana, and that's we're just kind of getting started. So I'm not sure where else the Spirit is going to take us, but it's sweeping the nation.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. All right, so this is a night of, as you said, adoration, confessions, and I mean, is the focus just to basically get people together under an understanding of worship, under an understanding of, you know, just this solidarity in the Catholic faith?
Yes, and also with this special opportunity to hear a different talk each night. So each little revival tour is two nights, Friday and Saturday night. So you always hear from our Director of Ministry Advancement, Beth Davis. Gosh, Patrick, she's such a beautiful speaker. She's just incredible. Mm. So you always hear a talk from her, and then in different cities, the second night will be a different person, sometimes a priest, sometimes another woman, a grandma or a mom or even a sister. Sometimes it kind of varies in the location. So to have really spoken into our hearts this longing for surrender, for that secure and intimate relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So you'll hear the talk. You'll have worship. On the Saturday nights, we'll have an actual Eucharistic procession. Father Jasper is here in the Twin Cities, is so kind to lead that for us.
Nice.
And then lots of priests are coming in to hear confessions, so we hope that the hundreds of women who come, everybody gets a chance to get that clean, fresh start of confession. Just sets you right, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. What a great idea. Okay, so St. John the Baptist in New Brighton, June 11th and 12th are the dates. Now, as I understand it, each one of these nights is similar but a little bit different. Is that right?
That's right, Patrick. So the doors open at 6 p.m. The revival starts at 7, goes to 9. And now here in St. Paul, you'll hear from Debbie Herbeck, who's a national speaker based out of Michigan. And she's talking on Friday night. You'll have adoration, confessions, and Debbie's talk. Then on Saturday night, you'll hear from my friend Beth Davis, and we'll have confessions again, but then we'll also have the Eucharistic procession through the church there at St. John's.
Got it. Okay. And so is it advisable that women sign up for both nights, or is that permissible?
Yes, we want it to be accessible to everybody. So you can do just Saturday, you can just Friday, or you can do both together. I'm going to be there both nights with my little baby in tow. I really hope women come to both nights because I'm going to hug you. I'm just ready to hug people, Patrick.
Aren't we all? Yes. Yeah. Right. Very good. And I have to say that this is falling at a very opportune moment when I think, yes, people are so much longing for some face-to-face contact, some real face-to-face fellowship, and time to be together, again, under the leadership of our Lord and in praise and worship of Him. So I think it's a great idea. Okay, so I assume some sort of registration is required. And is there a cost to this, Nell?
There is a cost. It's just to help us cover our travel expenses for these ladies. We do bring in our own musician, too, who's just a beautiful, beautiful singer and worship leader, Mary Kastner. So there is a cost. I think it's $35 a night, or there's a deal for both nights together. And included in that, you also get a special canvas bag with a zipper and the special cup that's got the fly logo on it and this Look at the Birds journal. Birds, not bugs, Patrick. So we want it to feel like a retreat in a night, you know, for women, since this is a time when people aren't necessarily doing a whole day away from their families or a whole day in community, to just really take that time, set that time apart, and worship together, praise God together, to pray with our sisters. Man, that's just a powerful thing, to sing together. You know there's going to be crying. It's women. We're having adoration and confession. You know there's going to be tears. And to be really inspired to draw our hearts closer to our Lord during this time.
Yeah. Well, wonderful, wonderful. Where can women go to sign up for this great night or these great nights now?
Oh, I love it. Add in that plural often. Just right on our website, blessedshe.net/revival. Or if you just go to blessedishe.net, you'll be able to make your way to find the Fly Revival. The drop-down menu, you know, you have to pick your city because we're going to so many. So just pick the St. Paul. You can pick the Friday, Saturday, or the both nights together. I so desire that our community gets a chance to just step away from the stress and the anxiety and the you know, all the things that are going on, and just to pray together. I really can't wait, Patrick. I'm really excited.
I'm getting that, yes. And as I'm looking at that very website, blessedishe.net/revivals, look at that. You got a picture of birds flying, and it says, Look at the Birds, Matthew 6:26. See, if I'd have gone to the website prior to it, I probably would have gotten the bug imagery out of my head. Well, I'm going to ask you to pontificate a little bit, Nell, here as we're looking at this. And, you know, obviously, we've had numerous guests on the show over the course of this last year plus talking about the effects of the pandemic on us as followers of Jesus and as on us as a community of faith and that sort of thing. Can you do a little meditation for us on what kind of an effect has it had either on you personally, or what do you think especially is true of perhaps young adult women who might be mothers, they might be wives, they might be single. What kind of an effect has it had? Any specific things that have gone on in their lives as a result of the pandemic?
And I think so much because we've been isolated from one another, and then even for a long period from the sacraments, this real sense of the enemy worming his way into our hearts and telling us we are alone. We're alone in our shame of our sins. We're alone in our fears and insecurity. We're alone in our health problems or health anticipated problems, health concerns. And that's simply not true. The Lord has been with us all throughout. He did not abandon us simply because we had to shift course. We had to switch gears. We had to deal with, you know, a global crisis. The Lord has been with us through it all, that our guardian angel, the saints, the whole church suffering has been with us through it all. And to push against that lie of thinking, I'm the only one who's dealing with X. So you don't have your community around. It's really easy to start to fall into the black hole of, I am alone, I'm isolated. And that's right where the devil wants us. He wants to keep us alone, keeping us thinking that our problems are so embarrassing and disgusting and unique to us that no one in our life could understand them. And we're too embarrassed even to bring them to our Lord in confession, or to bring them to our Lord in prayer. So I would just want to encourage, especially, you know, in my instance, I've got little kids, Patrick, that this time has been one of real challenge, that we're not meant to be alone. Even the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know, God, our triune God, lives in relationship. So as we kind of step back out into our communities and you know, try to reconnect or re-engage with our sisters in Christ, to not feel embarrassed about whatever it is that we've gone through, to truly bring who we are, our struggles, our joys, back into our friendships, and to let the Lord reignite our hearts for community. Whether you're an extrovert or you're an introvert, going back out post-pandemic, you know, as we're kind of creeping out, to remember that only the enemy wants you to be isolated, that our Lord always wants you to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and most importantly, to know He's always with us, He's always with you and with me, and that we are made for Him. And in being made for Him, we're also made to share that gift of who we are out with our community.
Mm-hmm. And what a great reminder and a great timing for these Blessed Is She revivals, fly revivals coming up. June 11th and 12th, St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. Register online. Find out more at blessedishe.net/revivals. Well, Nell, it's always really good, really good to talk to you. Anything in specific that we can pray for you for? Always like to check in with you about that.
Oh, you're so kind, Patrick. You know, I think just end of the year stuff. Thanksgiving for our Catholic school teachers who made it through the year and kept our kids in school. All those, did you forget your water bottle? Where is your belt? What test do you have this week? Oh my gosh, that's your sister's lunchbox. All those things for me and for all the parents and teachers who are kind of wrapping this year up. Homeschool or public school or conventional private school, whatever you got. Just end of the year stuff is always on my heart right now. So thanks, Patrick. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, absolutely. As we transition into the summer. Well, again, one more time, what a great way to get summer started in attending one of these fly revivals by Blessed Is She. Nell O'Leary, we are so grateful that you're always so cheerful and wonderful to talk to. Thanks for being on the program today, and God bless you and your continued work with Blessed Is She and as a wife and mother, of course. God bless, Nell.
Thanks, Patrick. You too.
All right. Well, I think with that, you know what? Let me just throw that website out there one more time. blessedishe.net/revivals. That's where you'll find all the information and the registration. All right, we're going to take our final break. And when we return, Paul Sadek and I have the privilege and pleasure of passing on to you some great ways of growing in your practice of the faith. So stay with us.
What does relevant radio mean to you?
Every day, I learn something new, and I'm filled with so much joy. And after about 6 months, I went to confession and started going to Mass again and receiving the Eucharist. If it weren't for you and what you do,
I'd still be lost out there.
We hear from so many who may have wandered away from the church, wandered away from the sacraments, and there's something about what they hear on Relevant Radio, the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, bringing them back to church.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Please consider making a donation today. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. I hope you're taking Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins up on their invitation to return to Mass. Just remember to be aware of and of any guidelines that your parish has set by your pastor and parish leadership. To stay up to date with the latest on the pandemic and the local church, and for a message from Archbishop Hebda welcoming us back to Mass, visit archspm.org/COVID-19.
And remember, you can always hear daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Start the day right with prayer and reflection on Daybreak at 4 a.m., Daily Mass at noon and 7:30, Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 p.m. with Drew Mariani, and don't forget Family Rosary Across America at 7 p.m. Sunday Mass is at 9 a.m. and noon.
Get a jump on Synod small groups coming up this fall. Head on over to archspm.org/synod to find out how Synod small groups will work, what will be discussed, and how and why you should take part. It's all at archspm.org/synod.
As Nell just told us a moment ago, Blessed Is She is excited to bring you Fly Revivals, a night of worship, adoration, a talk, and prayer. The Fly Revival has two distinct nights, each with its own worship set and unique talk, as well as adoration and confession. Join in either June 11th or 12th at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in New Brighton. For information and registration, visit blessedisshe.net/revivals.
And the parishes of Northeast Minneapolis invite you to join them as they take Jesus to the streets and venerate his Eucharistic presence. The 16th annual Northeast Eucharistic Procession will begin Sunday, June 13th at 3 p.m. at Holy Cross Church in Northeast Minneapolis, and will conclude at All Saints Parish with benediction. For parking information and more, visit archspm.org/events.
And how's this for a lineup? Holy Mass, Eucharistic procession, food trucks, and beer?
Oh, man, you're talking to me.
Have I got your attention?
Yes, you do.
All right. Catholic Watchmen of the Archdiocese want you to join them and Bishop Andrew Cousins for Catholic Father's Day, Saturday, June 19th, starting at 4:30 p.m., Maternity of Mary in St. Paul. Come and ask Jesus to renew Catholic fatherhood in imitation of St. Joseph. You've got to register online, though. Go to archspm.org/events.
Mass, Eucharistic procession, food trucks, and beer. There you go. Oh, man, that's great.
What more can you ask for?
Well, I know. Paul, are you a little bit country?
Only a little bit.
Were you country when country wasn't cool?
No.
Well, even if you weren't, plan to take part in Rural Life Sunday.
Well, that's different.
Yes, that is. Sunday, June 27th, Archbishop Hebda will celebrate Mass outdoors at St. Patrick's in Shieldsville at 10:30 a.m. Come and give thanks for God's creation and provision in the midst of rural splendor. Find out the details at archspm.org/events.
And just a reminder, our one-stop online shop here at Practicing Catholic is practicingcatholicshow.com. That's where you'll find links to past interviews, all our social media, how to suggest a guest or topic. It's all under one roof at practicingcatholicshow.com.
I got to say, Paul, our calendar items are, it's like a breath of fresh air.
Oh, my.
Inviting
it's
people,
so wonderful.
Yeah. Inviting people to get back together, get together even outside. Oh, my goodness.
It's like Woodstock, man.
Well, that predates me
maybe,
a little bit.
Maybe not.
But I appreciate the sentiment.
Only in some minor ways, yes.
Right, yes, yeah. I suppose we don't have to go too far down that road.
We don't.
All right. Well, let's go a little ways down the road into next week. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind. Next time on Practicing Catholic, Jeff Cavins is with us to talk about the Catechetical Institute School of Discipleship. Also, Dr. Kate Walsh-Soucere on what we can do to respond to racism in authentically helpful and positive ways, and Tim Murray from Trinity Sober Homes on serving the men of our archdiocese in their journeys of addiction recovery. That's all coming up next week. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.